In the book of Acts, we read how the early church eagerly shared all that they had with each other. Now is our opportunity to give as we have planned, according to what the Lord has blessed us with. May the ushers come forward to collect our tithes and offerings. God, we thank you so much for the many gifts that you give to us, more than we're aware of. We know that all things come from you and through you. Please use these offerings to build up your kingdom and open our eyes to see how you are doing that through us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our sermon scripture readings are taken from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 17, and Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 13. 1 Timothy 1, 12 through 17. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And our second scripture, Romans 12, 9 through 13. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. This is God's holy word.
Let's bow in prayer. We do thank you for your word, O God, and we pray for your spirit to be upon us as we consider these lessons in this fruit of the Spirit in patience and in love. In Christ we pray. Amen. How patient have you been? If you were here on May 5th, you heard Patience Part 1, and we kind of ran out of time, so I said Patience Part 2 would happen on May 12th, but then all the schedules, you know, I had to preach on something else than patience on Mother's Day and all that kind of good stuff. So you've been patient, and we have Patience Part 2 this morning, talking about both patience and love. And in those passages, and hopefully in your own life, you can experience how well those two go together and how love helps us with patience and patience helps us with love. And so to consider the fruit of patience, we draw from the words that Avery just read from 1 Timothy chapter 1, which Paul is making the case for the unlimited patience of God as he extends grace towards sinners. And Paul does so by speaking about his own life, and he describes himself as the worst of sinners. Think about that. A self-description of yourself as the worst of sinners. And Paul shares that description about him based on what he has lived in his life. And because he was the worst and forgiven by God, his sins were forgiven, he was able to overcome that. Then Paul is in this letter able to talk to Timothy and to all of us about the unlimited grace of Jesus Christ. What about you? What about us? Can we do that? Can we speak about our own life experiences and call ourselves a sinner? Maybe even a worse sinner than Paul? And in our sin, have we recognized the unlimited grace of Jesus being poured out upon us? Paul has set the example, but he's talking about us. Where in our lives have we experienced and needed the unlimited grace of Jesus Christ? Or maybe we don't need to go there. Maybe we're perfect and we're not sinners. Maybe we are that type of person that is always right, or we think we're always right. But this passage is meant to teach us from Paul's experience in regards to our own experiences that none of us are perfect, none of us are always right, and we do need the unlimited grace of Jesus Christ. So 1 Timothy chapter 1, looking at verse 12, Paul thanks Christ Jesus, our Lord. He doesn't thank Christ Jesus, my Lord. He uses our, representing everyone who has ever lived on this earth. Christ Jesus, our Lord, all of us. And he lifts up three aspects for Timothy to understand about strength. Christ Jesus strengthened Paul. He enabled Paul to be that missionary of the early church. And he also considered Paul. Jesus Christ considered Paul as he counted Paul faithful. He counted Paul faithful. And because he had been strengthened and enabled, Because he had been considered and counted faithful, Paul was appointed to ministry by Christ Jesus. Appointed to ministry. And Jesus gave Paul the strength he would need to do the tasks of ministry. To think about Vacation Bible School and just to hear at 8 o'clock and then in between the Sunday school and in the service before 10:30, the excitement of just simple decorations that took an awful long time to make and hang up, but just the excitement generated in those that are here, that's what we're praying for the children tonight. There's excitement that they want to come in and experience God in new ways. And that can happen because God has appointed all of those helping with Vacation Bible School this year. He has appointed them, he has strengthened them, and he has equipped them equal to the tasks of ministry. And in verse 13, Paul says, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. Ignorance and unbelief is not an excuse for our sin. We recognize it. But because of our sin, we come to know and cherish that God's mercy is always available for us. And in verse 14, Paul talks about grace, the exceedingly abundant grace of God. And it's that exceedingly abundant grace of God that saved Paul. If you go back to Acts 9, verse 2, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. That was not too long ago in the life of Saul. That's the Greek word, the Hebrew name for Paul. Saul was breathing out, he was persecuting Christians. And then Jesus Christ got a hold of Saul and Paul and changed his heart with that exceedingly abundant grace to become the missionary of the early church and the missionary still that we read about today. And then verse 15, Paul sets up the passage for Timothy. Here is a trustworthy saying. Here is a trustworthy saying. If you're not going to listen or remember anything else, do this. And Paul uses that phrase, a trustworthy saying, 5 times in his letters to Timothy and to Titus. Here is something special. Listen to this. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's the trustworthy saying. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of who I am the worst. Of who I am the worst, Paul writes. And if Christ Jesus came into the world to save the worst, he can save us. Charles Spurgeon writes of this passage, all are truly sinners. But all are not equally sinners. They are all in the mire, but they have not all sunk to an equal depth in it. There is a tendency by people to think about certain sins being worse than other sin. It's all sin, but there's some that is worse than the others. I don't necessarily believe that's how God looks at it. God looks at all sin, but Spurgeon would say we're not all at the same depth of sin. Maybe we have a closer relationship with God. Maybe we have walked a different path towards salvation. Maybe we have learned stronger faithfulness to say no to those temptations, but we're still all in the mire. We're all in the muck and the mud, and we need the grace of Jesus Christ. And in verse 16, Paul writes, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example. Paul, Saul and Paul, same person, breathing out murderous threats, and now he's the missionary of the early church. He is an example that God gave him great patience. It didn't happen when Saul was 5 years old or 10. It happened when he was an adult that he was brought to Jesus Christ. The Lord spoke to him on that road. And why? That Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example through Paul. That all who would believe in Jesus Christ would know and receive eternal life. Paul's life was a powerful demonstration of divine grace. And as sinners ourselves, as God has gotten a hold of us, as God speaks to us, in those times of life when we wonder, is Jesus Christ really our Lord? If we have doubts, we go back to the example of Paul. And he can save the worst of sinners, God can, with unlimited patience. Patience. How good are you at waiting? How good are you interacting with others with patience? I am not necessarily known for patience, but it's a fruit of the Spirit I have been cultivating for a few years. All of my life. Wednesday night, I was waiting for somebody to show up. We had an appointment. I thought it was at 5. I was texting the person, well, I'm on my way. I got one more stop. At 7:15, the person showed up. Almost 2.5 hours, Eric exercised great patience. When the person finally arrived, I didn't bring that up at all. We were there to talk about some things, and we just talked about that, and that person didn't know that I had been frustrated at all because I knew what I was preaching on. David Stuckey, after 8 o'clock, he, you know, God gave me that example on Wednesday night that I could talk about patience. I had my phone. I had a Bible with me. My phone had my book. I was reading the scriptures, and I was taking care of some things, staying positive in patience. Maybe one of the ways that Christians can experience a lack of patience is on the road. You know, I live about 4 miles south of town. You know, it's 35 up until the certain sign, then it gets to be 45, then it gets to be 50, and when you get out of town, it's 55. But there are people that will drive in front of me on my way home for lunch at 25 and 25 and 25 and 25. I have been in the cars with other people going that 4 mile, and they pass them. But I have learned that to pass somebody, they're going to have to brake for me because when I turn into my road, I have to slow down and make that turn. And so I've learned just to be patient and have no sense of road rage whatsoever. So on the road, you can practice patience. Or when you're going to the store, someone is walking almost at the same distance from the door that you are, and you can hurry up to get in first, or you can hurry up and hold the door so the other person can go in first. Or once you're in the store waiting in that line, I love to look around, and people that are total strangers to one another, with patience, will have a conversation about what you're buying and those kind of things. Rather than wasting that moment in frustration and anger, you talk with people and you exercise patience. Why? Fruit of the Spirit, patience and love. Love. What is love in 1 Corinthians 13:4? Love is patience. When we are exercising patience, we are loving one another. Love is patient, love is kind. In our reading from Romans 12, the aspect about love, all that follows is the description of what love can be. Love is to be sincere. Love is to be good. Love is to be devoted. Love is to honor others first. That's not we ourselves. Paul was focused in on his belief and he was breathing those murderous thoughts. God changed his heart, and he became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he began for the rest of his life to put other people first, willing to go to jail many times. Other people first. So I challenge you, when you go to that store and someone, hold the door for them. Let somebody else take your place in line at the cash register or self-checkout. Let others go first. You're showing both love and patience. Impatient people. This is what I was told one time. I think I'm more important than anybody else, so I should go first. That's impatience. So if we are patient, we are enabling other people to go first. So don't snap at people when they frustrate you. How come, and maybe this is only me as a parent, how come when I got frustrated with my children, they would hear me better if I yelled? It didn't work that way. The calmer I could be, I think they learned a little bit better. So don't snap at people when they frustrate you. Love them. Don't be easily angered, love is. Don't be easily angered. Let it go. Be calm. Self-control is another fruit of the Spirit we talked about a month or so ago. Don't respond impatiently when you are in a hurry. I messed up the other day. My wife's car, you know, got two key fobs, two remotes. Mine was dead, would not work. So I took it apart that night to see what battery I got, and I put the other one in my wife's purse. I took the wrong remote apart. So I got a nice little text or a call from Lynn because she had a medical appointment at 8 o'clock and it was 20 till. I said, oh no, I know what I'd done. I'd put the good battery or, you know, the bad battery back in the remote. So I went home and changed it and she took off and I got a text. I made it 5 minutes after 8 and I didn't go over 60 once. And I was getting there, and she wants to say, thanks for taking care of me. I'm thinking, I was the guy that didn't put in the right battery, but she was very generous, you know. She was patient. She didn't respond in patience. The people at the doctor's office, 5 minutes late was good. They were okay with it. That's how we have to be. Don't look at the bad. Look at the positive. Be patient in love. It takes practice. And as Paul had practice in his faith, I believe God gives us all kinds of opportunities in our daily lives to be patient in love, bearing the fruit that God blesses us with as his people. Glory be to God. Amen.
I think it's worth hearing the ancient words again from Romans 12. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor in serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. And may we ever be mindful and thankful for the unlimited grace and patience of our Lord, as we continue to strive to increase our fruit of the Spirit, that which is patience, as we keep in step with God to help us. Please rise as you're able. Our closing song is Ancient Words. Following the spoken benediction, we will sing Step by Step.
Oh,
The theme of the first night of Vacation Bible School is God is a friend who is real. May his love be real in your hearts this day. Amen.